This is Fresh Air. Many middle-class families fled Cuba after the revolution. Cristina Garcia and her parents left for New York when she was two. But they left behind Cristina's grandmother and many aunts and uncles who chose to stay and work for the revolution. Garcia's first novel, Dreaming in Cuban, is about three generations of women in a family like her own that was divided by the revolution. Each of the women has a different vision of her native country and the revolution. Garcia is a former Time magazine reporter. For a while, she was based in Miami. It was the first time she was around a Cuban community. We invited Garcia to talk with us and read from her novel. In this passage, we meet the youngest main character, Pilar, who moved to New York as a child and desperately wants to return to Cuba and see her grandmother again.
I was only 2 years old when I left Cuba, but I remember everything that's happened to me since I was a baby, even word-for-word conversations. I was sitting in my grandmother's lap, playing with her drop pearl earrings, when my mother told her we were leaving the country. My grandmother called her a traitor to the revolution. Mom tried to pull me away, but I clung to my grandmother and screamed at the top of my lungs. My grandfather came running and said, "Celia, let the girl go. She belongs with her mother." That was the last time I saw her. My mother says that my grandmother had plenty of chances to leave Cuba, but that she's stubborn and got her head turned around by a leader. Mom says communist, the way some people say cancer, low and fierce. She reads the newspapers page by page for leftist conspiracies, jams her finger against imagined evidence and says, "See, what did I tell you?" Last year, when a leader jailed a famous Cuban poet, she sneered at those leftist intellectual hypocrites for trying to free him. "They created those prisons, so now they should rot in them," she shouted, not making much sense at all. "They're dangerous subversives, red to the bone." Mom's views are strictly black and white. It's how she survives.
Cristina Garcia, was your family divided by the Cuban Revolution?
Oh, absolutely. They were split right down the middle. All of my father's family chose to come to the United States, and all of my mother's family decided to stay for because they were politically committed to the changes.
So did that disrupt the family?
Oh, yes. There was a very bitter political schism in my family for many years, and it's the wounds have been very slow in healing, actually. It hasn't been until recent years that my mother has made amends with her family.
What was that process like?
I think it was a very, very emotional and draining experience on both sides. I think they had been so intransigent and so entrenched in their own positions for so long that it was very difficult to shed them, at least at a distance. I think the minute, though, they reunited in Cuba, when my mother first went back to Cuba in the early 80s, all of that resistance melted away at first sight. And I think they realized on both sides what they had been missing all these years.
Do you think that it's typical of Cuban families that they were divided by the revolution?
Oh, I think almost every Cuban family has a story to tell along those lines. I don't think there's a single Cuban family that was not affected in one way or another by the revolution, or split, or had grave tensions as a result of what happened politically in Cuba.
Was there a particular incident that led you to want to write this novel about a family that's separated by the revolution?
Well, I think what happened was my sister and I took a trip to Cuba in 1984, and I had not been back since I'd left in 1961 at 2.5 years old. And it was a very exhilarating experience for me to meet all of my family there. And I think the experience just marinated in the back of my brain for many years. And then when I finally sat down in 1989 to write the book, it all coalesced.
How did the Cuba of reality in 1984 compare to what you had imagined all the years you were living in the United States?
Well, as you can imagine, I, as well as many Cubans of my generation, have grown up with very skewed ideas about Cuba, especially since our homes were generally vehemently anti-Castro. And so to me, to actually go visit Cuba personally, it was really a far cry from the monstrous situation painted by my parents and others of their generation. But, you know, then again, I personally did not suffer what they suffered or lose what they lost. And so to me, it certainly did not seem, you know, so bad. And I think that was also reinforced by the fact that all of my mother's family there, or many of them, even though they were struggling, were very committed to the revolution. And even if given the opportunity, would not necessarily leave. This is not everybody, but certainly my grandmother there and, you know, other cousins and aunts and uncles.
Why did your parents leave Cuba?
Oh, just like so many other Cubans, they had lost property and they were just, they left initially thinking they were going to be back in 6 months or a year. I don't think anybody ever anticipated that this would turn into a permanent exile.
They thought the revolution would end and then they'd return?
Exactly. And so many people were living catch-as-catch-can for quite some time in hotels or taking temporary jobs. And it took a while to face the fact that the situation in Cuba would not turn around immediately or even in the near future. And so they settled down to start getting on with their lives.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Cristina Garcia. She's written a new novel called Dreaming in Cuban. She's a former Time magazine reporter. We'll take a short break, then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Cristina Garcia is my guest. She was born in Havana, grew up in the States, and has written a new novel called Dreaming in Cuban about a family that was separated by the Cuban Revolution, divided by the Cuban Revolution. So how close did you get with your relatives who had stayed in Cuba when you visited?
Well, it was an immediate, there was an immediate warmth and attraction, and it was as if 20 plus years had not evaporated since the last time we had seen each other. You know, there was no sense of formality, no introductions, nothing. I mean, it was just a hearty embrace, and literally and figuratively for the entire 2 weeks I was there. And I spent much of the time just talking to my grandmother, who. It was so funny. It was like landing in a place, and the tribe sort of looks like you and talks like you and has your mannerisms. It was just wonderful. It was a very magical experience.
Were there specific stories that you heard told from a different perspective when you were with your family who stayed in Cuba? Stories that you had heard your parents tell, but you had a very different version now from the family who'd stayed behind?
Well, I had always wondered, you know, given the way Cuba had been painted to me as I was growing up, why any of my relatives would have wanted to stay there. And the explanation was always, well, they just forget how it was before the revolution. You know, they don't remember you could have hot water and soap every day and, you know, for their baths. And when I got to Cuba, that wasn't the case at all. My grandmother and my relatives remembered very well what things were like before the revolution, and yet they were still willing to make the sacrifices. They felt, I think at one point in the book, I talk about Celia, the matriarch of this clan, talking that she felt that she was part of a great historical unfolding. And that was very much the sense I got from several of my relatives there. Now, not all of them. There were several who were anxious to leave and for various reasons. But there were a couple of real diehards, and they continued to be diehards and, you know, very committed to the revolution. And that hasn't changed.
The grandmother in your novel was on was a judge on the People's Court. I mean, not mm-hmm. the TV show People's Court, but a neighborhood People's Tribunal. Right. And I wonder if your grandmother was in that kind of position.
Yes, she was, as a matter of fact. And she was involved in the revolution on many different levels. She was part of the neighborhood committee at one point, and she actually did quite a bit of acting in local theater troupes. And I think she was just a kind of eminence grise of the neighborhood. I mean, a lot of people always came by her house, asked her for advice. She was very well respected in her neighborhood. And she was very revolutionary. It was very funny because I have cousins my age there, and they had boyfriends. They were dating. And the main criterion for my grandmother in determining the worth of these suitors was, were they revolutionary? Were they serious boys? And I thought that was very interesting.
When you returned to Cuba, did Cubans there spot you for someone who had grown up in America?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Just the way I was dressed and my accent, it gave me away immediately. Yeah, they would call me gringa down there.
How'd you react to that?
Oh, I just laughed. I mean, it was true. I couldn't avoid it.
What was
just opened my mouth and it was all over.
What was the food like and how did it compare to the kind of food your mother cooked?
Well, they suffer from quite a few shortages down there, and all the food is rationed. So what ended up happening was I would take my relatives, my sister and I would treat my relatives to meals at the tourist hotels, and where there were huge buffets and plenty of seafood and vegetables, and my family would go wild. I mean, they hadn't seen some of this stuff in years, and it was quite poignant, actually. I mean, I had one aunt just stuffing everything she could into her purse and her pockets and eating till she burst every night. It's tough there. And, the few meals that we did have at their home were very basic and very starch-laden. They get a lot of, huge allowance for lard, rice, and sugar. Mm. I think 5 pounds a month for sugar, and they use it. no shortage of that in Cuba.
Cristina Garcia, thank you very much for talking with us.
Oh, well, thank you. It was really a pleasure.
Cristina Garcia's novel, Dreaming in Cuban, is published by Knopf.